Sorry, Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition, who can shout the loudest?
Hello, I'm Ashan. You're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We're an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists. This is our first Wingering Wednesday episode of season 4, and every Wingering Wednesday we'll be giving you our hot takes on the week's news, playing games, and responding to what you have to say to us.
Today's episode, we are going to discuss our predictions for Segrave's report and talk about the Labour Party's next move. But first, we're going to have a question to warm us up for Wingering. So this week's question is, if you could be any figure from the political sphere, past or present, who would you be?
Now, that is a very difficult question. And before the episode, you had me scratching my head for quite a long time. Just whilst I was putting the washing out, I was like, who would I be? Like, if I could, who would I actually want to be is the question, because there's not many political leaders that I can think of who, you know, didn't have terrible endings or haven't had, you know, really big struggles throughout their life and their career. So I was like, right, okay, where am I going with this? And I think I would choose, because they're the only living prime minister, I would say, that a lot of people would want to see come back, which I think is quite an achievement in itself. I would like to be Gordon Brown. In part because you can be really smug about the fact that, you know, people didn't necessarily put their trust in you. But I suppose the country over the past 12 years has paid the consequences for the Conservatives being in power. And actually, you knowing yourself that you were dealing with a really big financial crisis that was out of your hands, and actually you dealt with it quite well. And that's something to be really proud of. And also, I quite like what he's doing at the moment, where he's just kind of sniping from the sidelines. And, you know, that would feel good to do, I think.
That's a great answer. I love that. Brilliant. Big Gordo.
Okay, Big Gordo.
Yeah, sorry, I had to. Sean, what would you say?
If I was going to say something funny and go for Tony Blair, just so I can fight with you, Brandon, constantly.
Whoa.
But no, I think on a similar note, I would, over Christmas, I'm watching a lot of The Thick of it. And although this is perhaps politically motivated as Brandon's, I think I'd just love to be Alistair Campbell in the heyday of New Labour, just screaming at people down the phone. It's probably not the nicest thing to do, but it just would be brilliant fun for even like an hour or so. Obviously just jump away from it, because I imagine it would be, I'd go pretty crazy, and he does actually have severe difficulties in the show, and I think Alistair Campbell has also gone through many mental difficulties, but it would be a fun for an hour. To at least be a fly on the wall.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. And also all of the kind of secrets that you'd be part of, and you'd definitely be in the know, because, you know, Alistair Campbell knew everything about what was happening in New Labour, and that's a really interesting position to be in. I mean, my second option would have been Ed Balls, but I decided to go for the intellectual's answer. What would you choose, Sean?
Oh, okay. Both great answers, by the way. I'd go for a slightly different flavour. I'd go for Barbara Castle.
Oh, yes. That's a strong answer.
Yeah. Just absolute legend. I mean, what? One of the most longest serving female MPs in, like, all of British history. And I just think that's such an amazing achievement. And, like, the things that she does in terms of, like, she did, not does, sorry, unfortunately, she's not here anymore, but in terms of her humanitarian work and obviously just being on the left of the political spectrum and working the Labour Party, just so admirable and, you know, just absolute legend. So, yeah, if I could be anyone for just one day, definitely would be her.
I'd also say that you'd also, similar to my answer, you'd see a lot of amazing things. You'd see Harold Wilson, you'd see Tony Benn, you'd see all these giants of the Labour movement,
absolutely,
all in their prime, and in many cases. But it would be great to see all the greats operating in their heyday, and also
absolutely,
be in the 60s.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty cool.
I have incredible respect for Barbara Castle, and to be fair, I think she was deserving of being the Prime Minister. You know, that's no doubt in my mind. The first female cabinet minister, actually, I felt the need to Google it. And actually, I believe Rachel Reeves has written a book about this individual. I could be wrong, but I think she has, because I remember being at a CLP Christmas party and somebody was auctioning it off. But Margaret Bonfield was actually the first female cabinet minister, and a lot earlier than I expected, actually. Apparently it was in 1929 under Prime Minister Ramsay MacDonald. There you go. Yeah, you learn something new every day. You know, her legacy lives on a lot longer than a lot of politicians now, basically. Yeah, I reckon, you know, there won't be such similar names in this government that would be being brought up in, you know, 50 years' time.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking to people in today's government, we're going to get straight into talking about the Sue Gray report. When you're listening to this episode, it might already be out. So you're in a very powerful position listening to this episode, in that you will know all the answers to the questions that we're going to be asking about the report. But just for a little bit of background, Sue Gray stepped into the post of leading the government's inquiry into the parties that took place over several lockdowns. In December 2021, after top civil servant Simon Case stepped down from leading the inquiry, as it was actually found out that he had held a party in his office during lockdowns. Naughty, naughty, not very good. Another one who's not come out of this particularly well. She worked under both the Tories and Labour, and she herself would describe herself as a challenger, which I find quite interesting. And I think one of the things that might come out of this report is that I think she's going to try and make a name for herself. And what that means in actual, in terms of what the report's content would be, is potentially quite a major thing. And I'm really intrigued to see what comes out of it. What do you think? What do you think's to be expected in the report?
I just hope, more than expect, it to just tar the entire Tory party with the brush. Maybe that's just me being a bit too party political and hoping that we can bring them down once and for all. But I am worried that a lot of the talk has been over the last few days that it's a Boris problem. But I think recently, especially today, it has become evident amongst Tory MPs and Tory spads, etc., that it could be a lot of people implicated in this. And I know Rishi Sunak is one of the people who's been implicated in the recent birthday party scandal, which I'm going to call it. And there you go. So I just hope it just reaches out into the entire Tory establishment, I hope.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Eshan just said. In my eyes, you know, a Tory is a Tory is a Tory. And from my viewpoint, you know, it's certainly not just, although it is largely so, Boris's problem. It's not just something that's, you know, come about because of him and his actions. You know, they're all kind of, they've all been involved and they're all in it together. And, you know, it's something that we have to make sure that, you know, they're properly held accountable. And if the Sue Gray report fails to do that, then in my opinion, it's been a little bit of a waste of time. So yeah, that's the most important thing, because you just got to think of the justice that must be done for all of the hundreds of thousands of families who've been affected by COVID up and down the country, and, you know, dying loved ones that weren't able to be seen whilst our Prime Minister and, you know, his chums partied. And I think we all agree on what needs to be done about that.
You know, for me, I, throughout the lockdowns, didn't even think of, you know, holding a party, holding a gathering. Like, it was just never something that came up or felt like it was something that was in the realm of the possible, almost. And it just shows how out of touch the current government is, and basically that they've been in power for far too long. In fact, they shouldn't have been in power at all in an ideal world, but that it just encapsulates how complacent I think the government got, having, you know, achieved that 80 plus seat majority. And I am so pleased that this is coming back to bite them now, and that it hasn't just been, you know, brushed under the carpet. And I hope that the report actually does basically pull the rug out from under the Conservative government and, you know, force things to move a little bit quicker towards the next Labour government in an ideal world. But I am excited because I do think that Sue Gray as a character is quite ambitious, quite out there. And I don't think that she's just going to let the government get away with this. I do think that she's going to try and make a name for herself. And that does actually really excite me. And I can't wait to read the report. I think, I hope.
It might be out either tonight or tomorrow, and that tomorrow being Wednesday. So I hope we find out very soon. But on other things, I think we should move on to how Labour is responding to all this, because the report is a neutral civil service produced. And polling has been strong over the past few months, actually. But in recent weeks, some Conservatives have been moving back to the don't know sections of the polls. So we're just going to discuss briefly what could Labour do more, or what should Labour's next steps be to continue to capitalise on the chaos that appears occurring?
I think it is pushing that, as you said, pushing that message that it's not just Boris. You know, Boris is the obvious target. He is the main guy. He's big dog, as the Conservative government would call him. But he's not the only one. Certainly not. You know, I would say the vast majority of the cabinet are directly implicated in this. You know, I just wonder what Rishi Sunak's been up to, because he must have known that all these parties were happening. I'm not necessarily saying that he was involved. I'm not sure if any evidence has shown that he's been directly involved, but he definitely knew it was happening, and he definitely sat on the information. And the picture of them where they sat in the garden, all having drinks outside in the sun, that was taken from number 11, which I find really interesting, because in my eyes, it seems like it's almost a bit of a number 11 plot to get rid of Boris, but I think it could... Or somebody in number 11 anyway, but I think it could spectacularly backfire on even Rishi Sunak if he did become a front runner candidate for the Tory leadership. But I think, yeah, Labour really needs to push that message that it's not just Boris, it's the whole cabinet. And actually, the Labour Party has been funding social media campaigns in Conservative Party seats, actually saying that their cabinet member was involved in the parties, or this person knew about the parties but didn't say anything, or didn't, you know, stand up for what's right. And I think that's exactly the way that we should be going forward.
So what I would suggest Labour, well, maybe continue to do, is keep portraying that image of Labour being not only able to hold the Tories to account, but also appear to be a professional front that is able to govern the country. I mean, it's very easy for us to just keep saying Tories bad, Tories bad, Tories bad, which we all know. And I think a lot of the country are thinking at the moment, we need to continue not only coming up with policies, but also appearing as a front bench and as a campaigning force that we are actually committed to reasonable progressive change, rather than just either resorting to our natural position of Tory bashing or resorting to unrealistic aims for should we ever achieve government. So I think it's a combined holding to account plus a little bit of showing to the people that actually I could see the Labour front bench, or I could see Labour members working in the next government that we elect. Sian, did you have anything on that matter?
Yeah, so for me, the most important thing right now is that Labour can sort of remain a strong unity, a force, if you like, against everything that's come out in recent days and weeks. Obviously, the situation with Partygate, or whatever you want to call it, is so scandalous and really quite disgusting when we look at the mass of deaths and hospitalizations and the effects of the NHS and all the other industries up and down the country. And ultimately, Labour's role at the moment for me is to stand up and stand together proudly and say, we have a united front and this isn't what the Labour Party does. You know, you put a Labour Party in government, you don't see this kind of, well, poor leadership and, quite frankly, just betrayal. So yeah, I think that's the most important thing, at least it is for me anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And I hate to have the selling point of Labour be that we're not the Tories, because, you know, obviously we should be better than that, but we are not the Tories, and our front bench, you know, whatever you want to say about them, are not the current Conservative front bench. And I believe, if nothing else, if there's nothing else going for the Labour Party in voters' eyes, the fact that we've got a front bench, which I genuinely believe with all my heart, is far more confident and far more competent going into leading the country than this current government. And what, you know, that should be the absolute minimum that you ask for, that the government can carry out its policy agenda and run the country. But at the moment, the Conservatives aren't doing that. And today, when we're recording on Tuesday, Boris Johnson set out what his response would be to a Russian attack on Ukraine. This is going a little bit off topic, so I apologise about that. But when he was setting out, you know, the government's plans for that, and I was watching him talk, I thought, but would you really be the person that I would want responding to an international crisis like that on behalf of this country? And my answer to that is no, not at all. And I think that would be a lot of people's answers now. But we just need to show that, you know, Labour is competent, it is a united front, and also that we've got a vision and we know how we would govern the country, not just that we could. And I think that's the challenge for Labour going forward.
I think, Brandon, yeah, you are right, as I alluded to earlier. But now it is time to show that on all these policy failings, especially coming into the spring with the tax rises and the cost of living and the possible foreign policy crisis that is occurring, that Labour have the alternatives. And I think what a few places we can point to that in recent past is Labour's policy a few weeks ago on energy prices, especially for poorer and middle incomes, which I thought was excellent. I don't know if any of you had a chance to have a look at it. But also, even more recently, over the weekend, Keir Starmer's letter in the Telegraph, article in the Telegraph regarding the Russian and Ukraine possible future conflict, where he laid out a 3-point plan on how exactly a future Labour government, or how he thinks a Conservative government, should deal with the Russian threat, which is pending over Europe, not just in Ukraine, but possibly in the Baltic states as well. So it is interesting to see how Labour have not just gone from maybe a year ago, where we went from, look, we've detoxified, we can actually run the country maybe, to look, this is what we'd actually do. And I feel like that's a big credit to the front bench, to taking the argument into a more policy-faced one rather than just trying to put out our own fires. And I think that's something that Labour should continue doing.
Unfortunately, that's all that we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us for our first episode of Whinging Wednesday in Series 4. We'll be back next Whinging Wednesday with a new episode.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to this podcast to be notified of when our new episodes come out.
We also have a mailing list, the Left Whingers community, which you can join using the link in this episode's description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using the links on our social media, which are also in the description.
Keep whinging. We'll see you soon.